This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. 7:17, Thursday, the 14th of July. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Bun Negara of the Sabah Malaysia Study Group on the purported seizure of Petronas assets by the Sultanate of Sulu. But in the meantime, let's talk about contract medical officers in Malaysia, because several days ago, the Public Services Department, also known as JPA, decided to cancel the scholarship bonds of contract doctors, dentists and pharmacists who successfully applied for a release. This move aims to reduce the growing number of contract medical professionals in government service. And upon graduations, students of publicly funded scholarships are actually bound to serve the government for 10 years.
And those who break their bonds will be penalised with a fee of at least 300,000 to a million ringgit. But, you know, what implications will be the cancellation of scholarship bonds have on the already overstretched national healthcare system? And does this address the perceived injustice of the contract system?
So for some answers, we speak to Dr. Vijay Ganesan. He's the chairperson of MMA's sections concerning house officers and medical officers, known as SHOMOS. Good morning, Dr. Vijay. As usual, good to speak to you. Now, there are reports that there is a doctor shortage in some hospitals. Help us understand what is the situation on the ground. Is this the case, and is it for certain kind of doctors, or is it across the board?
So I do agree with shortages in some of the hospitals. I wouldn't say whether it's West or East Malaysia, because I'm seeing the same scenario in both sides. In fact, if you look at the some hospitals, some doctors are actually having to take do alternate day calls, and at the same time, some of them are also having some problems sometimes to take leave and all that because of shortage of manpower. So this has been happening even in capital cities like KL, where I recently saw a case where there was one doctor who was actually having her some personal issues, at the same time having to undergo pregnancy as well, but having difficulties to take leave because of this.
Okay.
So I think it is still happening. And the reasons behind this could be a lot. There could be one, of course, the redistribution where doctors move in and out of hospitals and all that. And then besides that, a lot of doctors are also moving into non-clinical fields, for example, public health, administrative fields and all that. So these could be the reasons for it. But the answer to the question is yes, we do agree that there is a shortage in certain hospitals, especially certain departments.
The situation being as it is, though, doctor, won't this
yep.
exacerbate the current situation and overwhelm the national healthcare system, especially with COVID cases on the rise?
Yeah. So we have not really seen the JPS contract yet, the conditions for the bond release. So it's a bit premature to comment on exactly whether it would exacerbate or not. But if you ask me for the cancellation of the contract doctors, the government basically has a certain number of positions that they can offer. For example, they have 5,000 positions and we have 10,000 doctors graduating. How do we actually propose a system where we can absorb all? So it's a bit impossible. And number two is, let's say we have doctors who are JPA bonded. Would this mean that these doctors have to be absorbed into the system despite poor performance and all that? So I think this would be actually quite commendable, actually, because the doctors would not be forced to be absorbed. At the same time, they would be able to at least get a job which they could suit for their needs and all that.
So you do agree with the Malaysian Medical Association's point of view, which actually welcomes the government's move to cut these, to allow for doctors to cancel their, at least JPA to cancel their bonds. But I am confused because, you see, we seem to have a shortage of doctors and there is availability. So why is that the case?
Okay, I think what the government has explained in their article was doctors can choose to actually opt for their bonds to be cancelled. But at the same time, it did not mean that they have to opt for their bonds to be cancelled.
Okay.
I think what can be done is they could still remain in the system. And I think to address the shortage, they are giving the option to the doctor, in fact. But to address the shortage, we should look into the number of doctor-to-patient ratio we have already spoke about in the past. And perhaps if there's still a shortage, we could consider things like universal health coverage and all that in the future. But to address this coverage, stopping the bonds does not mean we are going to have a shortage. Stopping the bonds gives a bit more freedom to the doctor.
Okay, do you think then the white paper should address this? Because there is supposed to be a white paper on the healthcare system out soon. And this issue of contract doctors has been brewing for more than, you know, even pre-COVID times. So I think one of the issues is this removal of this two-tier system between permanent doctors and those on contract at government hospitals suggested by, what do you think, as suggested by HDK, what is the right way forward?
Well, we hope to see a clear direction in the future of public care and healthcare in Malaysia in terms of financing and administrative things. Now, this two-tier system is there, and I think it's still going to be there. I don't think they'll be able to demolish it completely. And this probably stems from something that has been echoed by the Malaysian Medical Association since 2008, where we have already asked to address the mushrooming of medical schools. If you look at it, Malaysia has almost the same number of medical schools recognized, the same as UK. So if this is going to be happening, we can't control the number of medical graduates. And the number of medical graduates are still going to keep increasing. And when this happens, the government will not have enough money to pay everyone. And we can't offer everyone a job. So I think the two-tier system is still going to be there in the long run. But I would welcome an increase in the number of permanent positions. YBKG has explained that they are increasing this year to 3,005 and future years to about 1,005 to 2. But this will surely not be enough, especially if we are looking at a doctor-patient ratio of 1 in 400. I think we, if you look at developed countries, we are looking at something 1 in less than 300. So we should be moving forward to the, towards those numbers and not sticking to the old ratio of 1 to 400.
On top of that, we have this talent migration issue. Is brain drain a concern for Malaysia's medical sector from your conversations?
Yes, of course. I think brain drain in every specialty is a major concern because technically, if we look at it, a lot of specialists are actually leaving the country or even leaving to the private sector. And this is mainly because of remuneration, promotions, salary scales. For example, let me give you an example. Our on-call reviews has last been done in 2011. And up to now, although inflation has been increasing over a yearly basis, we have still not got our on-call reviews done yet. And pay scales as well. Besides that, I mentioned about promotions. A lot of senior specialists are waiting for their juice-up promotions, which are still not there because from time to time, there has been KUP, which is Khas Untuk Penyandang, being created, but not in increase in juice-up positions. How do we address the shortage of specialists in the country if we can't keep our specialists and promote them accordingly? I know we are not asking to promote everyone, but certain specialties should be promoted for the years of service and the contribution that they've provided to the people and the country.
So is the best way to retain talent then just increase salaries and also have a clear path in terms of their progression and promotion?
Yes. We do understand while we say increase salaries, of course, the country is undergoing a very tough time at the moment. But probably other remunerations can be provided by the government.
Okay. Thank you for your time. That's Dr. Vijay Gunnarsson. He's the chairperson of MMA's section concerning house officers and medical officers known as SHOMOS, telling us, yes, there is a bit of a doctor shortage in hospitals, partially because there have been transfers and some of the COVID-19 wards require more medical doc practitioners on site. But really, this ongoing shortage and imbalance of demand and supply is not new.
It's not new, and well, given the fact that a lot of Malaysians can't afford private hospitals and private consultations, it is really a concern where this is going to go. I mean, the number of doctors who have quit so far, it's just literally on the increase every year.
Yeah, I mean, of course, aside from the fact that they're uncertain about their careers and on the mental health of also looking after COVID-19 patients or just being involved in medical, just the taxing nature of being a doctor. And this, I think, extends actually not just to doctors. We also have to consider nurses here, right, who are doing an important role in hospitals. But we'll be trying to we'll follow this story very closely, especially since the medical white paper is due, I do believe, sometime in November. And this medical white paper is critical because it's supposed to be useful even beyond this government or other governments. It's supposed to set the standard in terms of what our healthcare system should be like. So I'll be watching this story very closely. But up next, we'll be speaking to Angeline Tan of ISIS Malaysia about the Malaysia-China relationship that's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.